It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The newly appointed special master charged with determining what's in that tranche of documents seized by the FBI when they executed a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago last month will meet with lawyers from the former guy's team and the Department of Justice prosecutors for the first time Tuesday in Brooklyn, in case you were wondering. Both parties on Monday filed separate proposals for what would be discussed during today's hearing. Just a programming note, that independent journalist Marcy Wheeler of EmptyWheel.net is my special guest on the Tuesday edition of The Nicole Sandler Show. It's heard on Progressive Voices at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, and will be available after on demand at NicoleSandler.com. It's well worth the listen for all the details that you're not getting from the mainstream corporate media. Election Day is just 7 weeks away. With the possibility that the control of the House could go back to Republicans, there's lots to get done before the end of the year. Representatives Liz Cheney and Zoe Lofgren are introducing legislation that would prevent future attempts to overturn elections. Called the Presidential Election Reform Act, it centers on overhauling the Electoral Count Act, an archaic law that governs the counting of votes from the Electoral College. A committee markup is slated for today, and the full House is expected to vote on it as soon as Wednesday, when it's expected to pass with the support of Democrats and at least a few Republicans. Now, the Senate released its own version in June, but the earliest it would be brought up there for a vote is after the midterm elections during the lame duck session. The Democrats, now in control, want to put Republicans on the record before the elections. That's why the urgency in the House. The current law allows for one House member and one senator to raise an objection to a state's results during a joint session of Congress. The Senate bill would increase that threshold to one-fifth of each chamber, while the House version makes it even more difficult, requiring one-third of each body to approve debate. Both the House and Senate bills set deadlines for governors to send Congress their state's electoral votes. If the governor refuses or sends the wrong ones, the candidate can file suit. The House bill says that if a governor doesn't submit an accurate number of electors by a certain date, then candidates can obtain a federal court order compelling the governor to immediately act. If the governor again refuses, the House bill says the court can then appoint another state official to send the slate of electors to Congress. I thought this was supposed to simplify everything. Anyway, the House measure is more specific in its redefinition of the Electoral Count Act's failed elections provision, while both bills clarify that a state's election can only be extended in the case of a, quote, genuine catastrophic event that can prove enough ballots could not be cast. The House bill specifies that a catastrophic event is defined as a natural disaster and must get the approval of a federal judge. Complicated much? Here's a suggestion. Count all the votes. The candidate who gets the most votes wins. Sounds like democracy to me. Isn't that the point? There's other legislation that has to pass, like the continuing resolution, which will keep the government running. Chuck Schumer is still insisting, though, that he'll attach to that continuing resolution Joe Manchin's side deal that would change the permitting process for energy projects. That's something that split the Democrats, with progressives vehemently opposed to the measure. And Republicans are saying they can't support anything without first seeing the details. And then Republican Senator John Cornyn said that there's bad blood with Manchin over his support for the Democrats' climate change and health care bill, known as the Inflation Reduction Act. He said, quote, there's not a lot of sympathy on our side to provide Senator Manchin a reward for his flip-flop on the reconciliation bill. So there's all of that. Meanwhile, fallout from the stunt pulled by the Florida governor last week when he took a group of around 50 Venezuelans seeking asylum from San Antonio, Texas to Martha's Vineyard is growing. Now, a sheriff in Texas announced that he's launched a criminal investigation into DeSantis's actions. The sheriff, Javier Salazar of Bexar County, Texas, an elected Democrat, by the way, said that the migrants were, quote, in the country legally, and somebody came from out of state, preyed upon these people, lured them with promises of a better life, then, quote, unceremoniously stranded them for nothing more than political posturing, end quote. Immigrants' rights groups and Democrats have made similar complaints. DeSantis said that the migrants signed a waiver and left willingly. Sure, they did. The United Nations General Assembly is back in New York this week after 3 years of virtual meetings due to the pandemic. A total of 193 UN member countries will deliberate in person about the challenges the planet's now facing. As expected, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia is casting a shadow over the entire thing. As for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, he will be the only world leader to speak by video. Understandable, as Russia has been waging war on his country since February. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. And please click on that donate button.